get it. Turn and run. Turn and run. Turn and run.
The Raheem Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 until you get out of there, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Raheem Morris, and your host, TJ Reed.
Well, good evening. Welcome in. It is a Monday night in the aftermath of a battle. What a battle at the Georgia Dome on Sunday. A battle for first place that unfortunately comes up 1 yard short of taking the lead late there with a couple of minutes to go. The Atlanta Falcons end up winning in this one 27-21. And so we get ready for this one here tonight and get ready to take your phone calls, talk about that game, and also talk about, obviously, the next opponent, which will be the Carolina Panthers, and that is coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium. All right, so with that, we bring in the head coach, Raheem Morris. As I said, a battle, a tremendous battle. I know you don't want to hear about moral victories. I know you don't want to hear about close but no cigar, but good evening. Thank you for sitting here and doing this tonight.
No problem, man. Team's resilient. They went out there and they fought yesterday. I can't say enough about how they work together and how they try to get it done at the end all the time. But we came short yesterday, and it was a tough one.
Well, and I know you've had a chance now to watch it last night and again today. And this, not unlike several other games this year, came down to the fourth quarter where you had opportunities, and this is the first time in those situations where you have not been able to pull the game out, which says something for what you've been able to do so far this season. But in looking at the tape, you definitely had opportunities throughout that fourth quarter, got back in the game with the kickoff return by Michael Spurlock that we'll talk about more as the show goes on, but you had your chances.
I did. We took advantage of a couple of them, and some were missed opportunities and, didn't fall our way. But hopefully come out to right in the stick more times than not. Yesterday was a slugfest, and it was something we got in there, and we punched back, and it was a good deal.
Well, let's talk about that, because obviously it starts off with the Falcons getting two touchdowns in the first half of the game and getting up 14-0. And again, for fans that are out there, there are a lot of teams that don't recover from things like that. When that happens on the road against a good team in a hostile environment, your team showed something to battle back after being down 14-0 in the first half of the football game.
Well, the one thing that I knew personally, and I expressed to my football team, the Atlanta Falcons were coming off a bye. A team that already knows us pretty well, a team that now has 2 weeks to prepare for us, a team that was going to come in and give us their best efforts. We knew that would come, and told them not to panic. Don't be discouraged. Don't let none of these things happen to you. No matter what happens to the game, 60-minute football game, we knew that, and they came out with a great plan in the beginning of that game in order to get off to a fast start.
You were saying earlier in your news conference to the media, for those that did not hear it, that Mike Mularkey, almost kind of like out of the Bill Walsh script with the first 15 plays, had dialed some things up. They were having success with the run, and then you said we had to make some mid-first half adjustments to begin to try to slow them down. Just elaborate on what you were talking about earlier today.
Yeah, there's no question about that. We came out, we had a plan, and we knew what we would want to do. And I knew he would give us a bunch of different, personnel groupings. I knew he would come out and do a bunch of different, deals in that first quarter with the formations, with people, with substitutions, with his play calling, with changing the plays at the line of scrimmage and such. And he's able to go down there. So we had to make adjustments on the sideline. We had to go out there and, call on, Rondé Barber to go cover Tony Gonzalez a couple of times. We had to call on, all players to stand up and follow people around. We already had the plan for Aqib to follow around Roddy. We had to take Rondé from his known position, nickel position, put Biggers inside at Rondé's position, and let Rondé go play a little nickel wheel for us, and put in Obert Mack and play a little dime and some of those things for us in order to get us, back into the game as far as a third down perspective.
Okay, again, they're up 14-0, and for the first of two times, a huge kickoff return by Michael Spurlock for 66 yards seemed to switch the momentum for your team, and you end up converting that with a touchdown pass to Regis Benn to get back in the game at 14-7. That's the spark that you needed, though, to get life back in your football team.
Spurlock's come up big this year, in general, and he's the same way, and he's clutch, and he's all those things, but he comes back, gets the big kickoff return for us. He's able to move the ball and get us down in the scoring position. And after that, Free's able to throw a nice strike to Aurelius Benn on the back shoulder throw off a bootleg action. that couldn't be drawn up any better.
Hey, let's talk about that specific play because it's an interesting play where he's kind of lined up in the slot. He goes in motion and kind of looks like he's going to block, and then all of a sudden kind of flares out. Is that his play, or is that just an option on the play if he's there? Because it certainly was sneaky to the Bucks' benefit.
Well, actually, it was one of those plays that was kind of a broken down play, and he bluffs and goes to the flat. The flat's not open immediately. He turns up, stays alive, and frees, able to buy some time with his leg, moving out there in a bootleg. He looks for his crossing. Kellen, he's covered. He looks downfield, and Regis Brand works himself open, and he throws the back shoulder throw, hits him right in the back, and right in stride in the back shoulder. And it's a great catch by Riley Spinn.
You know, it's interesting, everybody's different take. And you had told us all the way back at draft time and all the way through OTAs and the training camps that one of the things that you loved about these two young receivers that you drafted in Ben and Mike Williams was their ability to go up and outfight defenders for the ball. There's a classic example of it on that play because that's kind of a 50-50 ball there where defender can make a play or Regis Ben can make the play, and number 17 makes the play.
You know, he's shown ability to do that in the preseason a little bit. He's been getting better and better with it in practice. We practiced that way. We worked that way together. You know, free threw a nice shot at the back shoulder for him, and he was able to go up and make that play and you know, contort his body into awkward body position like you're talking about and make that play, and it was great.
You know, it's interesting, too, from a compliment standpoint, that Brian Billick is doing the game on TV. I got a chance to see the TV tape of the game, and he said teams that are playing the Buccaneers have got to fear this right now because they keep seeing Josh Freeman put a ball up there for those young receivers, and they keep going and getting it. It is quite a weapon. I mean, he was very complimentary about what your young guys have been able to do in those regards, having to, you know, having worked a two or three games now for the Fox broadcast. All right, so the Falcons are able to drive down after that. You're able to hold them for a field goal, kind of what you've been talking about already on this show here. You got off the field on third down and forced them to kick a field goal, keep the game there at 17-7, and then you're able to march to the other end and get a touchdown on the slant pass to Mike Williams, and now you're right back in the game at 17-14. But let's talk about the drive that gets you back in the game.
You know, the disappointing part for us, you know, on defense standpoint, we go out there, we make some of the adjustments we just talked about, and we were not able to get off on third down. We were able to get these guys a third down and hold them to a third and six and also hold them to a third and three there, and weren't able to get off on the previous drives. And so this time we got the third and six, and they were able to complete it on big after our adjustment. We all knew what we did wrong. We had another opportunity there on third and three in the red zone, and we made a play with Geno Hayes, and we were able to get off. And then after that, we get the ball back. We were able to go down there and put together a nice drive that ended nicely for us on the Banzai Blitz, and Mike Williams able to make them pay.
All right, let's talk about the Banzai Blitz and what exactly that means, because you burned them on the Banzai Blitz. So get more specific about that.
You know, for us is a, you know, we call it Banzai all out pressures, and you know, here they come. They bring in everybody zero pressure. It's all or nothing for those guys. They had hit us earlier. You know, we made a protection call that was wrong, and our young football team, you know, he paid for it. Our quarterback there, and earlier in the game when they got a nice sack. But we came off. He's able to make his corrections and identify all the protections and all the stuff that we asked him to do, which is really astonishing for a young player and how he picks it up and grasps it and absolutely takes control of a game that way. And a lot of quarterbacks are not asked to do that, and he does. And he doesn't. He handles it with great poise and great leadership. And he recognized the blitz. He had a great calling from his coach with a backside slant to Mike Williams. He hits him in stride. Mike Williams turns the speed on and really shows his ability to run away from defenders. And he scored a nice play, a 58-yard touchdown.
Without giving away all the trade secrets, I saw this a couple of times yesterday. There may be just a subtle little look or some kind of signal or whatever. And I don't know if there was on this particular play where he may just look at him right before the snap, like if they're coming, it's coming to you. And, you know, in that instance, there's no deep safety help. Once he beats the first guy inside, goodbye.
You know, in that particular case, it was a play call by Greg Olsen that made the call on that play. But you know, we do have those plays where they look at each other and they could change routes and do some of those things. But on this one, he didn't have to. Josh knew exactly where he was going with the football once he recognized the rotation and the coverage and what was happening. And he knew exactly what was going on. He identified it as the quarterback. He had a great play by his coordinator. He's able to hit Mike Williams in stride, and Mike Williams finished the rest.
All right, and then this was just a wild game with a lot of different facets because the Falcons got the ball back. They're trying to make something happen, but they end up having to give the ball back to you. You now have the ball, and you're trying to make something happen in the last minute of the first half in a 17-14 game. It ends up that you punt to them. They've got it again. They're trying to make some throws, but the game ends up at halftime at 17-14. It was really a back-and-forth first half there at the end.
You know, really, this is where we excelled as a football. We've been excelling as a football team. You know, we pride ourselves on doing the right thing and making great decisions here at the end of half, you know, the week before in Arizona, went out and got 3 points, which really turned out to be big time at the end of that football game. You know, some of the other weeks he may have to take a knee and make a smart decision and get out at halftime and get out of it without making a critical mistake. But this is one of those situations where Josh was kind of hot. They went on offense. They were on the attack mode. They were kind of hot. But we thrive in those situations in 2 minutes as a defensive staff, and we were able to go out there. And I was hoping, really, for them to make a mistake, that's to get an interception, you know, go out there and score, you know, and lay down one of our trademark innings of a half. But
right.
That didn't happen, but we were able to get them to third down, and we were able to stop them and get the ball back for our guys. And that was critical. I thought we got another opportunity with Josh having a hot hand, having 2 touchdown drives before that, our receivers starting to pick up steam and really have an opportunity to get on there and get some points. We fell short. They got the ball back, and they went back on the attack mode, and you know, we stopped them again. And that was big momentum change for our defense, you know, because he came out, boom, boom, touchdown, touchdown, 3 points. And now for us to get 2 stops back-to-back right there gave us a lot of confidence in the sideline adjustments, first of all, that we just made, and a lot of confidence for the team to go into halftime and say, hey, man, we just weathered their storm. You got a team coming off a bye. They jumped out with a 17, you know, 0 lead on you, whatever the case may be. And now we're back in this game 17-14.
Yeah.
Our type of football.
Yeah. And go into the locker room and get ready to play the next 30 minutes. And when we come back here with the head coach, we're going to talk about those final 30 minutes. And there's plenty to talk about, obviously, especially with the fourth quarter and the final moments of the game. We'll also take your phone calls. Again, we'll also talk Carolina Panthers later on in the program as well. We're here on Monday nights at 5 Eastern time with the head coach, Raheem Morris. We'll be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, here are Coach Morris and TJ Reeves.
We are back on this Monday night as we continue talking about the battle with the Atlanta Falcons. We will take your phone calls coming up in just a little bit. If you're in Hillsborough County hearing us, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas County, that is 461-4620, anywhere that you can hear the show. And last week was interesting. We had Athens, Greece. We had Corpus Christi, Texas. So we had kind of global ability to hear the show, internet, and more. 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 to join the coach. If you've got questions and comments, we'll be taking your phone calls in a little bit. And we will be talking Carolina Panthers, second of 2 meetings with Carolina coming up at Raymond James Sunday, 1 p.m. We'll talk more with the coach about that as the show winds down. So we left off in the last segment talking about going to the locker room. We talked to you coming out of the locker room, and you said to us that the message to the team was, you're back in the game, but you got to play the full 60 minutes. That's, you know, that's been your motto all year long, and this one was no different with the way that it lived up to it, as it turned out. You got the ball to start the second half, and you know, right away had problems and end up with an interception and a turnover there, which is the last thing that you want to see on the opening drive of a half.
Yeah, we came out and, you know, really we felt we had the momentum. You know, we got the last 2 touchdowns there. We were able to get some stops there on defense. We felt like we're getting the ball. We're coming out. Josh Freeman has the ball in his hand. We feel really good about all the scenarios. And we get out there and we have a little bit of an issue. Another protection deal and breaks down and he's able to rush it. And Josh, you know, wish he can have that one back and, you know, just take that sack and get out of that bad situation. But he's a playmaker. Tried to make a play. And it didn't work in his favor this time. And we gave him the ball really in a great situation for, you know, for their offense. And, you know, we don't make excuses on defense. We're supposed to stop them, but we were not able to, and they went out there and scored a touchdown quick, and that took the lead there.
Yeah, and it's back to a 24-14 game at that point. Back to the Freeman play, it has been so rare in the last, really the whole season, but in the last month or so, it has been so rare to see him make a mistake. And on that, in that case, it was a blitz, and it's one of those where he's trying to make the throw and the arm got hit, not to make excuses for him, but the arm got hit while he's trying to get rid of it against the blitz.
You know, it's one of those things where sometimes it's better, you know, to get out of the play and throw it at his feet and not trying to make that one. But, you know, it's hard to knock him when he's able to do some of the things that he can do, when he's able to, you know, throw men off of him and run down the field and make big-time plays or throw it on a run like he's able to do. And you know, it's hard to knock him. It's hard to second-guess some of his decisions because he's been so smart with the football, you know, throughout his time as a starter this year and what he's been able to do. You know, I'm not going to go back and be that guy who second-guesses my quarterback. Man, I'm going to stand by him and live with his decisions and live with his mistakes.
All right. Now, interesting in the sequence, as they got inside the 10-yard line, they had a 3rd-and-9 play. They completed to Roddy White. It's close. It's questionable as to whether or not he got the first down. You elected to challenge there in that instance. Take me back to your thought process on utilizing one of your challenges there.
You know, you want to make people make decisions. And you know, I felt the spot was wrong. I felt it was off. And I tried to challenge it. You know, I was told I couldn't challenge it, you know, a spot. So they were making me pick my flag up. But I at least wanted to have a conversation about it with my referees.
Actually, on this one, they did go, and they did go under the hood. This is the Roddy White one that we're talking about in the third quarter. And look at that particular spot. And they said it is the right spot in that instance. We are going to give them a first down.
Correct.
On that one. It would be at the same end where you were trying to do the challenge later in the game. So I understand where it all runs together.
It all runs together at this point. But, you know, it was so many decisions to make yesterday. But, you know, you want to get things right. You want to get your team the best opportunity. Those are big-time plays, and you want to make sure things could be correct. And you know, it's all personal opinion sometime out in the field. And, you know, by no means will I complain about it. By no means will I make excuses for my football team. Yeah, but, you know, you're just trying to get things right.
Well, and in that case, if you are correct, it is 4th down and it's going to be maybe a foot or a half a yard. But now you're going
to
put the pressure on the Falcons
to make a decision.
Do you want to go for it? Do you want to kick the field goal?
Exactly right. You know, I'm looking to make those guys make decisions, the same tough ones we all got to make in the games.
All right, so it ends up that they get in the end zone at that point. It's now 24-14. They later get a field goal on a drive. They put another drive together and get a field goal to get the lead at 27-14. And then for the second time on the day, kind of a broken play on a kickoff return, the ball goes through Maurice Stovall's hands. Michael Spurlock picks it up and gets a couple of blocks and gets down the sideline, gets out the gate, coach, as you know, and a humongous play to switch the momentum back for you on a touchdown and a kickoff return.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether they missed the kick or they were trying to squib it. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not on that sideline, but they kicked the squib kick out there. And, you know, our guys let it go to our returner, and it came through, bouncing through to the returner. We pick it up, and Michael Spurlock, you know, gets some people out of their run lanes, and he's able to turn the Jets on. You know, so right now he has the first Buccaneer kickoff return and the last.
And against the Falcons in both cases.
Against the Falcons in both cases. So, you know, Michael Spurlock's been great for us all year. You know, he's made some clutch plays for us on 3rd down. He made clutch plays yesterday, and he made another clutch play yesterday on special teams.
Hey, you know, that play kind of epitomizes what you're striving for with a young football team, that there's something that was kind of crazy with a fumble where it's a problem, it's adversity, and suddenly it turns into 89 or 90 yards the other way for a touchdown because you keep battling, you keep working hard.
Yeah, these guys, man, they stay with their blocks. They capitalize on their opportunities. They play hard. I mean, I'm tired of saying it, but these guys play hard, you know, and that's what we preach, fast, hard, tough, consistent, smart. And we put all those things together. We got a chance to win games. You know, we had some lapses yesterday, and that'd be the reason that we can look back and go learn lessons from them while we lost.
And, again, we love sitting down with you on Monday nights because of parts of the show like this, because after you get the touchdown, you kick the extra point, it's 27-21. And at some point, you decide we're going to try the surprise onside kick. So take us kind of into that thought process. Was special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia having to lobby hard? Did he just come over and say, let's do it right now, and you agreed immediately? Or take me back to that moment where you decide, okay, we're going to try the surprise onside.
Well, the one thing I know about my coordinator and Rich Bisaccia is he does a great job of practicing different situations. You know, if we're at practice, he'll go out and he'll practice, you know, hurried field goal. Or we'll have times in practice where we practice onside kicks and different looks on Saturdays and things of that nature. And we'll go out there and we'll have it coached up exactly what we want, how we want it. So when a situation arrives that I decide to do it, he's always ready. And I went to him before we ran back the kickoff, to be honest with you. And I told him, I said, hey, if we score here, you know, off of the touchdown, I want to kick an onside kick. I said, get away from me because I don't want to be talking to you when it's that time. And I'm not telling anybody else in the football team. And he was about it. And he's an aggressive coach. He's an aggressive player. He's an aggressive guy. We both are, and that's how we want to play around here. We want to play to win. We're on the road in a hostile environment, and we're going to take something from them. And that was our mentality. And we kicked the onside kick. Great execution by his unit. We just touched it.
Did you know, let's stop here, did you know which specific, because he's got about 5 or 6 of them on the onside kicks, did you know which specific one was on there, that it was going to be Connor Barth trying to get it himself, or did you just know it was a surprise onside kick?
We went for our middle dribble. We talked about that and which one we will go with, and we went middle dribble, and you know, I'm sure Dave Moore will be on after this talking about it because he's a special teams connoisseur, and we went on and we were able to kick our middle dribble, And we hit it up in there. It bounces perfect. Kind of just touched it a fraction too
barely.
Early. You know, and then that's another one. You know, I thought we could, you know, we would win the challenge when they challenged it because I still haven't seen the conclusive evidence, you know.
Right, right.
And I was hoping we would you know, if we did touch, I was hoping we would get away from that one because it wasn't, you know, conclusive.
Well, the key in that instance is it has to be before the 10 yards. And on the replays on the TV now, and I know you've seen it on the coach's tape too, I mean, it is far from conclusive that that ball's not on the 40-yard line when it's touching his leg. It is very close. So, again, you know, we could talk, you know, for the rest of the show about officiating calls and whatever, but it doesn't go your way. But it still was an exciting moment in the game. And then, you know, your team has to hang in and hold the lead right there because they've got the ball at the 40-yard line, and you're able to do that, get off the field, and not give up any points when they take over at your 40 after the reversal.
You know, the thing I want to talk about that onside kick is the job that a guy like Adam Hayward did yesterday. You know, a lot of stuff goes unnoticed. A lot of stuff goes unmentioned. You know, but the execution at the time in the game, what he's able to do with the sacrifice for his body, for his team, when he absolutely goes in there and plays physical, violent brand of football that we love – knocks that guy to one guy that can potentially.
They've got one guy in the middle is what you're talking about, and it's Hayward's assignment, right?
The one guy that could potentially, you know, recover the ball for the Falcons, he eliminates. And
I like that word.
And we were not able to execute it completely. But, man, those situations are going to arrive again. And when you're playing, you know, you're playing teams like this and your team's playing that aggressive and, you know, and your team is all behind you when you do it, it's phenomenal, even though I didn't want to tell them because we're all too young. They wouldn't be able to hide it. They don't have good poker faces.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was all part of a wild second half. So let's continue here and talk some more about the fourth quarter. So you force them to punt. They pin you down inside the four-yard line. It eventually ends up being a third and 13 at the one. And then, goodness gracious, what a throw by number five down the sideline to a spot to Michael Spurlock. It ends up being a 43-yard catch, but it very nearly was a 99-yard play. You play ifs and buts, but, I mean, Grimes, the defensive back for Atlanta, makes basically a shoestring tackle, or Michael Spurlock is out the gate for 99 yards, Coach.
There's no doubt about it. You know, I'm not going to let you pass this point either. You know, after that onside kick, that defense goes out there and really stands up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a sudden change. You know, that's a great field position for the Atlanta Falcons, who have been moving the ball on us pretty well, running the ball on us well. We go out there, we knock out the run, we get a big-time third-down stop, and get the ball back for our football team, and they stop us again, and we have to give it to them after an interception, and we go out and get another big-time stop. But that play you're talking about to Michael Spurlock, it was a phenomenal throw by big time by five and a third and 13, and Spurlock comes up with it, and they make a shoestring tackle there to save another touchdown because he was out the gate again, and then five would have had another breakout play versus a blitz.
Yeah, and again, and we love Gene and Dave with the call on the radio, but Brian Billick on the TV could not even wait for the play to be over, and he is screaming, what a throw by Josh Freeman on that particular play. And it also changed the field position there at that moment. Unfortunately, you had the turnover right after that, but you end up stopping them once again. I mean, this was kind of a theme. You know, after they got those, you know, a couple of early touchdowns, you were able in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter to repeatedly get off the field and not give up more than one field goal, which kept the game 27-21, and then you gave up nothing on the next two trips.
And that's the thing about this young defense, you know, and this is why I constantly throw out their stats for losers, because these guys, they bounce back, they execute, they find out ways to make changes on the field. We do it together, we make the changes. They're able to go out there and perform and be detailed enough to do that stuff like a veteran team. And those are things you got to do if you want to win in this league. You know, the offense is good now. And you got to go out there and you got to be able to adjust. You got to be able to play. You got to be able to stand up. And that's what they've been doing. And it's been a lot of fun to watch them do it to keep us in games.
All right, here comes the key sequence and the fun stuff in the fourth quarter. First, again, you got to get off your own, you know, backed up inside the 10 at the 9-yard line. LeGarrette Blount helps with that with a 21-yard run. You eventually pick up a third down with Cadillac Williams out of the shotgun. You pick up another third down with a pass to Mike Williams for 11 yards. I mean, a couple of clutch plays there to get a drive going near midfield with about 6-7 minutes left in the game.
You know, we come out in that drive and we want to pound the ball. We still got a bunch of time there left to go out there and score the game, win a touchdown. And the script's already written in everybody's head. You know, these guys all feel like they're going to go out there and do it. We're going to run the ball with Blount. We're going to throw a couple key passes. We're going to throw a flea flicker. We're going to hit it for a bomb. We're going to run the ball in for the rest of the way, end the game with a two-minute drive by defense. So everybody on the sideline kind of feels like that. We have that kind of confidence, and that's how we felt it would play out. You know, unfortunately, we fell short. But, you know, the team, the coaches, the management team, everybody, our owners, we all felt comfortable walking off that field yesterday and knowing that we gave our best effort. You know, if you went to that game yesterday, you got a great brand of football. You got a defense go down early, give up touchdowns, fight their way back, two big plays by your offense, an onside kick that you failed, you fell short. You come back, you get a flea flicker, and you get a 4th-and-2 where we lose the game on a 4th-and-inches. And you got an exciting brand of football. And, you know, we're not trying to sell that. And no, we don't believe in moral victories. We don't believe in there was something that we got at it. But we do believe in learning the lessons from games. And yesterday, you got a lot of lessons from the young Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, let's talk about the flea flicker play, which is designed to go deep. It ends up going to Regis Benn in this case. And then there's some more controversy about where he was on the field and flags coming in, and you tried to actually challenge that spot. Let's go into that. First of all, you hit him with the trick play there that sets up the pass interference. It's definitely pass interference. And then there's some question as to whether the ball should be at the 6, should it be at the 5, should it be at the 11. You throw a challenge flag, and the referee comes over and tells you what.
And you make no mistakes about it. These officials, it's a human element to the game where, you know, we all make mistakes, but they do their very best job that they can do. And, you know, we challenged the spot in the area of the ball, and that's all hard stuff to do, and you can't challenge those things. But, you know, I threw some pretty good challenge flags out there yesterday. Threw them pretty far. Got great loft. Got
Been practicing that?
No, I mean, a lot of compliments from the referee, though, because, you know, I just want to make sure I get in their sight so, you know, there's no discrepancy of I didn't see the flag, coach. And actually, I was aiming at Matt Ryan. I'm just joking. I was trying to
get it. You hurled it out there. All right, so you were told on that one you can't challenge the spot on a penalty, and so it's now at the 11. You eventually throw a bubble screen or at least a wide receiver screen to Preston Parker right after that on 2nd and 10, and he gets down to the 4-yard line, makes a great individual effort to get about 3 or 4 extra yards on that play.
You know, plays we've been working on that you constantly want to go out there and do. You know, we want to execute that play better, though. You know, it was more there if we can go out there and get aligned and be ready faster. And that's a part of our youth. That's a part of us growing up and developing. But we do get the play off. We get it executed, and Preston does get a couple yards. But if we can just get better, and we could be faster, and we could be sharper, and we could do some of the things we do better in practice, that stuff starts to come together for us, and we'll get better results in bigger games.
All right, so then that leads to the key sequence here. It's now 3rd-and-3 at the 4-yard line. LeGarrette Blount comes through the pile. It looks to me, and again, you know, I'm down there at the 1-yard line. It looks to me like he has reached the ball inside the 1-yard line. They end up marking it closer to the 2, and then it's a chaotic situation with the play clock, with Josh Freeman trying to get the play from the sideline, and suddenly there's a communication problem where his headset is not working. You end up having to run in with the play clock running down to 3-2-1 and call timeout right as it's about to evaporate. That was just a crazy sequence there on the 3rd-down play that led to a 4th-down play.
You know, you got the 3rd-and-3, you run Blount, you know, with the ability to go get 3 yards. And, you know, he goes out there and, you know, you can question the spot, you can do all that stuff, but we don't do that. You know, the referees do their best job. You know, we talk to those guys on the field, and that is what it is. It didn't happen for whatever reasons. Our headset communication quarterback walkie-talkie to the QB goes out. Josh can't hear us from the play. You know, we got to run down and try to get him the play as fast as we can. He has to run back to the huddle, so that eliminates a lot of time off your play clock. And we got a lot of faith in the young man. But I wanted to help him out. I didn't need a 4th-and-inches play to be rushed. I again display speed getting down the sideline. And
you were a blur coming by me on the 1-yard line. Yeah,
I'm telling you now, I got some quickness. So I got to get down there, and I got to get the timeout and, you know, give us a chance, give us an opportunity to get a play that we want to run out there.
All right, so that play is, again, a handoff to LeGarrette Blount. I know that you talked about it after the game with us yesterday. You talked about it again earlier today. You've had time to watch it tonight. Just give me your thoughts now that you've had a chance to analyze and digest for 24 hours.
You know, the easiest thing in the world to do is to second-guess a runner, to second-guess a ball carrier on where he should have went and what he should have done. You know, that's why none of us play the game. That's why we all sit around and on Mondays we talk about it. But we gave that ball to Blount going downhill, and you like him to hit it downhill and just go in there and be a bowling ball and get, you know, a half a yard. No, but he didn't. He seen something. He bounced outside, had an opportunity, and we fell short. You know, but I'm gonna ride with that kid all the time. I'm gonna have that kid's back. So he knows that. And if we got put in that situation again, I wouldn't be afraid to give him the ball. And not saying that I would have to, but I certainly would not be afraid and wouldn't fear giving him the ball again in order to win the game for us. You know, 250-pound man for a half a yard versus any team, and I take my chance.
And it should be pointed out, this is the same LeGarrette Blount on a fourth down play against Pittsburgh who ran through about three Steelers for a touchdown. This is the same LeGarrette Blount on the goal line at Arizona that ran through a couple of Cardinals for a one-yard touchdown. You had some success giving it to him on the one-yard line previously.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, when a couple weeks ago, we watched a highlight all week, and we watched him jump over a man, and we all got applauded, and there was no hole there either. He just made one. So, and it's nowhere in the playbook where it says cut back, go through the hole, and leap a man, and then run 40 more yards down the field, and in the game for us. So, I'm not going to second guess the young man's decision. I ride with my guys, and they ride with me. And that's the bottom line, period. And I won't allow anyone to blame my guys for you know, whether we feel it was a mistake or not. We'll go back, and we'll learn our lessons from our games.
Well, and there were a lot of huge plays in this football game. That one, unfortunately, was about the last one. The Falcons were able to run the clock out and come away with the 27-21 win. What did you leave the team with after this one specifically?
You know, we talked about it. We talked about being at the halfway point and being 5-3. We're halfway to our goal of race to 10. We got to come out. We got 8 more games left, and the most important game is the next one, and that being the Carolina Panthers coming in here this week. And we got to go back. There'll be no, oh, what was me filling around one Buccaneer place. I'm only allowed to have it for half a day. I'm done. I'm out. I'm back. I'm sitting here on my couch time right now. We're playing meaningful games at the halfway point. You know, we would love to be been here last year playing a meaningful game, and last year we wasn't. You know, people were trying to call in the show and ask me to lose games on purpose to increase my draft status. There's no way I was doing that. And right now, we're playing meaningful games and try to order to set up a spot to hopefully qualify, you know, for the ultimate prize, and that's having a chance to go win the chip.
Well, and you know, the goal is keep winning, keep yourself in the hunt, and we'll see what happens as we progress. And again, we'll talk more about the next game with Carolina coming up. It is your turn next. Jump on the phones. We will be back. More with the head coach, Raheem Morris, here on this Monday. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Rolls on. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
We continue on with head coach Raheem Morris. Carolina will be the next opponent, second of two meetings with them. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. We're going to take your phone call straight ahead, 990-4620 in Hillsboro, 461-4620 in Pinellas. Toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. We'll get to the phones in just a second. Again, I always like this part of it. Give me an overall thought for those just joining us on the tough battle with the Falcons yesterday and then moving forward.
You know, it was a punch fest. It was a slug fest versus, you know, a 5-2 team in your division, a team that got, you know, good history. Right now they got the advantage at their place. They've been playing great football. Their coach probably has one loss or two losses, whatever it is. Their quarterback has one or two losses or whatever it is, and it's a tough place to play. It's been that way, and we went out there and we gave our best effort yesterday. And we got to learn experience that we got a chance to get better. And we'll go out and we'll try to next time.
Yeah, the one note that's an amazing note, Matt Ryan is now 19-1 at home. 19-1. They have won a lot of games, obviously, with him at quarterback. All right, to the phones. Let's start in Oklahoma. We told you we go all over the country and all around the globe. We had Athens, Greece last week. Anthony in Oklahoma, you're on with head coach Raheem Morris. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going, coach?
How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, I just got a comment. I mean, these next couple of weeks, I think, are kind of could be potential trap games. Games that, yeah, you know, we can win, but I think we need to be very careful. I mean, because we're only a couple of losses from, I think, being out of it, because so many teams are so competitive. The question that I have for you is that, you know, for the last couple of years, you know, the Bucs, we've always been known for guaranteed smash mouth, fearsome defense. I mean that's just the way it was. And the question that I have is, when we drafted Josh Freeman, know, me as a fan, you know, I'm thinking, okay, the reason for getting Josh is because all these years we could never put points on the board. But now we got a guy that's putting points on the board. But it's like now I'm starting to bite my fingers on defense. You know, it used to be the other way around. It's like, is there a way that we can get that defense back to smash mouth butt defense? I mean, because you got all these teams in the league like the Packers and the Giants, they have fearsome defenses. I mean, they intimidate you. I mean, we have the same – I mean, can we not get back to that same style of defense where we intimidate people and that, you know, I mean, just play buck ball. I mean, back to that buck D, Ray.
Anthony, you got to have some patience, bro. We drafted Gerald McCoy this year. We got a young football team. They're babies. We don't have Sapp. There's no more Brooks. Lynch
John
is not
Lynch.
Here.
Yep.
Rondé's still here, but he's 30 years older. These guys are all young pups, man. And back in 1996, when those guys are young pups, you know, they didn't finish number one in the defense. But that's what we're trying to go to. You know, the second half defense we've been able to play this year has been really good. It's been awesome. We got to find a way to come out and be better up front. We got to find a way to come out and be better at rushing the quarterback and doing a bunch of different things. But right now, Anthony, it's about trying to find the best way to win the football game every single week. And that's the only thing that you can promise, the only thing that you can guarantee. We are not a feared defense in the league yet. We will not be that this year. But there's no reason that you can't go out and win as many games as you can with that happening right now.
Yeah, you played 12 rookies yesterday in Atlanta.
Yeah,
and
six
start right the wire. Yeah.
You're playing 12 rookies, you know, six start. There's no excuses. But those guys got no choice but to get better. And we're building the lasting contender. And that's what we're trying to get out there and get done.
Phil in Lakeland is next with head coach Raheem Morris. Hey, Phil.
Hey, what's up, coach? It's good to talk to you again.
Hey, Phil, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Oh, good to talk to you.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, talk. My question for you is, man, we've got such talented players. Like, you got Josh Johnson sitting on the bench. You got Michael Spurlock, who was a quarterback in college. You ever thought about doing something kind of like the flea flicker with a wide receiver screen where you have the option of, you know, chunking the ball down the field still?
He's wanting you to divulge strategy now.
I'm going to bring Phil in for our trick plays of the week, but, you know, you must work for the Panthers. But
I don't think so.
You know, you go into each game plan with a few wrinkles and a few tricks, and in timing situations you call them. You know, yesterday we used our flea flicker. You know, yesterday we used our onside kick. You won't use them in every game. You know, yesterday we used a Z slot reverse to Regis Ben. You know, throughout the years, we've done some different things as far as, you know, play action passes and all that type of stuff. And we got a couple other ones up our sleeve.
I got to say, Coach, I loved the onside kickball.
Thank you, sir.
So.
I would have loved it a lot more if it would have worked. But
that's another good line.
But
I
Phil,
still say he was past the 10. I'm just saying it was over 10 yards.
I'm with you. You can say that. I can't. They take my money.
Keep your money, Coach. Thanks for talking.
All right, Phil. Hey, Josh Johnson was out there for a play, and the Falcons saw it, and they couldn't run and call timeout quick enough.
Yeah.
Now, you know, what should we read into that? He was – it's interesting.
He was
right?
just walking on the field, man. I don't know why they got so nervous.
Yeah, who knows what that could have been.
You guys got keen eyes, I tell you that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, and then you could maybe see it again Sunday. Who knows? Yeah. Jonathan is in Tampa. Good evening, Jonathan.
Hey, good evening, Coach Raw. Hey, I just want to say, really, I could not be prouder of the Bucks right now. You know, it's coming off a hard loss, but I tell you what, that was your game to lose. There was a lot of times I saw that you really won that game overall, and I was really proud of you guys. I've never seen as talented a group of rookies as you got. Like you said, you started six on Sunday?
Started six this Sunday. We played 12. We're getting incredible contributions. I don't know what it is in the NFL, but I like to certainly go count and see how many people's playing as many rookies.
Yeah,
and
I'm
productive.
Sorry, this is the best rookie drafted by one team I've seen in a very long time between Ben and Williams, Blunt on the offensive side. I mean, there's too many to name, really. It's a wonderful class you got there. But my question for you, with them being so young, and I know one of the things I'm sure you're pounding on them week in, week out right now is doing different things to stop the run.
Yeah.
And you've got a really young line. You really do with McCoy and Price right there in the middle to clog it up, which Price being down now is hard. But do you find that you're going to maybe use some stunts or some little bit more aggressive play calling with your DBs and with your linebackers to try and fill some of those gaps coming up in the games to come?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Able to take it?
There's no doubt about it, Jonathan. You know, Price is out for the season, and that's an unfortunate loss for us. But you know, again, we keep plugging in guys and keep putting them in there. You know, Al Woods, a rookie from LSU, came out there and gave us a couple snaps yesterday. But what we're doing is we are already, you know, doing a couple stunts, doing a couple movement things. And we just got to go out there and get better. You know, there's no doubt about it. Versus the run, you got to get better. But the other thing I told that team today, my defensive guys, is when you go play the Atlanta Falcons and you know they're going to rush the ball and they're going to do a pretty good job of running the football, you got to somehow contain them. It's like going to play Michael Jordan. You got to hold them to 20. And if you do that, you'll have a chance to win a game. What we didn't do well yesterday to help us stop the run is get off on third down. And we enabled, you know, a guy like Michael Turner to get, you know, five or six more carries. And when he get five or six more carries, he goes to 107. If you come out of that day and he has 20 rushes for 80 yards, you did a really good job in stopping the run. But when you come out and he has 24 carries for 107, you don't feel as good about it, you know, because of the extra possession that you gave him on third down, not being able to get off. If we can somehow eliminate the third down things and get better there first, that'll help us get better versus the run, along with the things that you mentioned earlier with stunts and some of those things.
Hey, real quick, because, again, you've analyzed it. You've talked about it with your guys. There were three or four times yesterday where suddenly on a cutback kind of an alley is there, and fans see that and they're going, okay, what's going on? And it may have been different things each time, but, I mean, was it a case where some guys were out of their gap? Was it a case where you tip your hat to the Falcons on how they have it blocked? Is it a combination of both? How does that play
out?
No,
we messed some things up yesterday as far as the defense standpoint. We had some errors. You know, we had a couple players misfit some things on a couple of plays that did break out. You know, they only had, the way you counted, you know, a run over 10 yards, something like that, you know, three runs over 10. But the amount of times they're able to do that yesterday is what hurts you. The couple lanes you see when he cuts back like that and gets a lane down in the red zone, they scored on one of those plays. And the other one, we have a misassignment by a player or whatever. Those things happen as well because you're playing with the six young players that we're talking about. And,
gotcha.
You know, some of the guys that misfit yesterday, we call our vets or third-year players. So, you know, we'll get better. And I got a lot of confidence that they will because they work at us hard.
We go back to the phones. Rick in St. Pete is on with head coach Raheem Morris on this Monday. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Coach.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Kudos to you and your staff. You guys have done an awesome job with the young guys that you got. I think this is, I know this is old news, but your statement about you being the best in the NFL, I think pure inspiration that you instilled in your men, and they come out and they showed for you. Being a coach of the youth, I did that once myself when we didn't have a win all year and we were coming up against another team, and I told them we were going to win on Saturday, and we went out and won. And inspiration's a lot to do with this game.
You know, it's a belief. It's mentality before it's ever reality, Rick. And I tell my guys that all the time. You know, my mentality is to be a champion. And if I don't have that mentality, I'm probably never going to be a champion. You know, none of us start playing sports or participating in sports or coaching sports or doing whatever not to win. We go on that thing to absolutely win it all and to be the very best that we can be all the time. And that's the only way I can attack it. And I'm not going to sit around and cry about what I don't have. I'm not going to sit around and cry about what we're not good at. I'm going to go find a way to force my will on my opponent, whatever my opponent is that day, in order to go out there and get a win.
All right, quickly, we're moving along here. Paul in Tampa is up next here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. How you doing?
Listen, you know what I love about you, man, is you're a straight shooter.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try to be.
And guess what? I'm going to come at you. I'm a straight shooter, too.
Beautiful, Paul.
Listen,
give it to me.
I watch this Aqib Talib guy, and I'm going to tell you, I'm saying to myself, if I'm a coach, I got a defensive player, I want him not to kill him, to hurt him. I love that guy.
Oh,
he
man.
Cuts him down right at the toenail. The other guy is Geno Hayes.
Yes.
I love him. And look, I'm just going to rattle these off at you because I know there's other callers, okay, Coach? But,
go. No, sure.
I mean, have a talk with Talib. Tell him to keep it up. And Hayes, I mean, he's beautiful. And I love Cadillac, but you know what? Coach, I hate to do this to you, but this guy, Blunt, I look at him, and he had a camera on him. I saw his eyes, and he's saying, oh, which one of you suckers am I going to hit next? He's beautiful. He's a mean machine.
No, you know what, Paul?
Paul sounds like he's coached before. Paul's going to these guys and coaching them up.
Hey, Coach, hang in, Coach. Here's the other one. How many yards did Turner get? 125?
You know, he had 107 yesterday.
Yeah, right.
100 how many?
107.
Coach, you're doing a great job, but who'd play in the middle?
We got Barrett Root in the middle.
Well, and that's the challenge that you have is you got to get everybody to bring it. Hey, he's talking about going to individually to these young guys. Just elaborate real quick on after a game on a Monday, going to them, reassuring them. Did you do some of that today?
Yes, yeah, no doubt. You know, we went to him today, and I talked to him. And it's funny you mentioned Talib, you know, because I brought up Talib's play in front of the unit today, and I said, if Talib plays like this, like he's played the last 2 weeks, really, he's an all-around corner. You know, I always knew he was a great corner with great attributes and great skills. But, you know, what he's been able to do with tackling, what he's been able to do with capping off, what he's been able to do with, you know, playing the ball when it's in the air and absolutely competing on every down. You know, he went out there yesterday and followed Roddy White around, and, you know, there was not a significant throw or catch on Tlaib, Aqib Tlaib, with Roddy White. And Roddy White's a big-time wideout, and that's what Aqib's been able to do for us. And, you know, he had a couple miscues early in the season, but what he's been able to do the last 2 weeks and getting better there, it's phenomenal. And it's just a credit to him. And I actually brought up Geno today. And Geno, you know, really, technically, and I told Geno this, and, you know, and I said, I love him. Yeah, I do love Geno. But he played one of his worst games for us yesterday, and he didn't play well. And he knows that, and we're straight shooters with each other. And he'll come back, and he will perform. You know, he scored a touchdown the week before. He played great that week. And this week he didn't play his best game. But that's going to happen. And that's the part of coaches and players being on the same page and being able to talk and communicate and be straight shooters with each other, which I learned from, you know, Joe Gardy, my college coach, and that's the best way you can be.
All right, quickly, we got time maybe for two more. We definitely got one more. Here's Scott in Tampa. You're on with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Coach. How's it going?
Doing well, Scott. Could be a little bit better, but doing well.
Well, I'd just like to say I was born and raised in Tampa. I'm in my 40s, and this is the most exciting Buccaneer football that I've ever watched. I've coached high school football. I've played men's rugby. I've done several different sports in my life, and I can tell you right now, you've got me calling for the first time ever a radio show just to say
that?
Hi and keep it up. I mean, we're really impressed. It's exciting to watch. I know I've been waiting all my life to watch this type of football in Tampa. I mean, I went to the Super Bowl. I watched the Bucs win in person, but this is exciting football. You've got me on the edge of my seat every weekend. Keep bringing that, because we're behind you, and I feel you. I know exactly where you're coming from. But my question to you is, LeGarrette Blount, I'd like to see a little bit more of him. First half, I didn't see him as much. I know you probably had your reasons, but I'll hang up now and listen. But keep going, man. We love you.
You know, we got to get the ball to LeGarrette a lot more. I agree with that. The problem with the first half was the amount of possessions. Atlanta went on two, you know, big-time drives on us in defense. You know, they had the ball for, you know, maybe – most of them, see me check the stats, actually, how long they had it.
I think they had the ball on two different possessions for almost a quarter.
Yeah, they had the ball there for a long time, and we got to do a better. That's what I mean, getting off on third down in order to give our offense opportunities. You know, our job on defense is score, get the ball back. So I tell our guys, and if we're not able to get the ball back, we're not able to get the ball into our playmakers' hands. And along with the excitement you're talking about, Scott, it is really exciting. You know, I hope not to keep you on the edge of the seat so much. I would like to win some of these games a little bit better, a little bit faster, but I appreciate it. And I hope you guys will be out there on Sunday making a bunch of noise, because I've been in two different stadiums right now, and there's been some adverse situations there on third down, and I'd like to create that type of environment here in Tampa again.
Hey, Bobby, I got 30 seconds. Bobby in Clearwater with the head coach. Go ahead, Bobby, quick.
Hey, Coach, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing better, Bobby. Now I'm talking to you guys.
Just wanted to say it's been real fun watching you play this year. It seems like all the teams in the NFL, there's really no dominant team, so it's pretty much up for grabs. I can tell you this, Atlanta has the fear of God in them. We catch them down here, you know, it's going to be a whole different ball game when they come to our house. I'll tell you that. And if I'm not mistaken, we take care of business with Carolina this week, and Atlanta, I believe, is playing Baltimore. We're going to be right back in it. But
gotcha.
It's been a real fun season, and like I said, there doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of dominant teams. You know, the 11-0, 8-0, 7-0, everybody's pretty much balanced. But I tell you what, when Atlanta comes into our house, they're going to have some fear in their face.
Bobby, thanks. And I know that was part of the message, because the guys were talking about that after the game. You will see that team again in about 3 weeks at home.
You know, we got to go play the team. The team's going to come play us again. And, you know, yes, they went out and we gave a great effort and all that stuff, but it'll be a different day. It'll be a different ball game, and it'll be a different establishment, a different set of rules. And I'm with you, Bobby. I can't wait for them to get back down there. But at the same time, you got to go one game at a time. You know, people talk about trap games in college. There's no such thing in the pros. You know, in the pros, you know, every week there's parity. Every week there's a team out there that can beat you. And you got to go out there and give your best effort week to week. And right now, the most important game for me is the Carolina Panther game, because it's the next one.
And on that note, we'll talk Panthers next with the coach on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The
Morris Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
Remaining moments here on this Monday will be spent talking Carolina Panthers, second of two games against them. It'll be at Raymond James Stadium Sunday, 1 o'clock, so you get them in your house. You beat them earlier in the year 20-7 in Carolina. And, this time of year you start hearing about injuries. They have put Matt Moore, the quarterback that we saw in Carolina, on injured reserve with an injured shoulder. They put Thomas Davis on injured reserve as well today. Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams are both banged up as we're talking right now and questionable for the game. But here come the Panthers playing a young quarterback, whether it's going to be Jimmy Clausen, Tony Pike, we're not sure who, but here come the Panthers Sunday, Coach.
You know, they're very similar to us, man. They're one of the youngest football teams in the league, and they got players that's going to step up. You know, Steve Smith's still there. They still got people and very capable of getting things done. You know, Mike Goodson, who I know well, who's, you know, played in Jersey with my dad, played in the backfield. It's kind of a funny story. Him and Kareem Huggins were backfield mates for the Irvington Golden Knights, which is pretty funny. And then Mike Williams, he left, moved to Texas, and then, went to Texas A&M and all that stuff. But he'll be starting for him, I guess. And I'm sure Jonathan Stewart will try to fight his way back and do some of those things. But this team now, they've come in here and played well over the years. And we got nothing but a lot of respect for the Carolina Panthers, and especially as long as their head coach is still John Fox. And the last time I checked, he was. They're going to come here ready to go and be mentally tough.
Well, and they got blown out by the Saints at home. And you just said before the timeout, there's no such thing as a trap game in the NFL. You know, how much are you going to emphasize to your team that very point, though, of this week, that, backup quarterbacks, the fact that they got blown out last week, none of that is relevant, right? I mean, you got to be ready to play Sunday 1 o'clock.
You know, I don't have to do it now because the media always helps me. They tell us how bad we are. So we're a bad football team, and we got to go, we got to go practice this week and have good practices and go out there and play hard and play fast, play smart, play consistent.
Emphasize again, because the last 2 weeks it has been loud, it has been hostile on the road at Arizona and Atlanta. Now you come home with a division opponent in a game where you're trying to get back on the winning track and try to get to 6-3. You need everybody there.
We've been on the road the last couple of weeks, and it's been, hostile environments, and it's been loud. It's been a deal. It's something to deal with for us, for our offense. And we're at our place. It's been pretty loud and it's been pretty exciting. But we want to try to fill this thing up and get everybody out and put people out there. Every win, we want to go out there and get these guys and get our community back and get everybody in our stadium and fill it up, man. But I look forward to it this weekend to see where we are and see how we can do.
Well, it's going to be a challenge, that's for sure. Coach, thanks for sitting with us here again tonight. We will talk to you in the pregame coverage coming up on Sunday at noon on the network prior to the matchup with the Panthers. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you, guys. You guys enjoy Sean, man. He's an entertaining dude, man.
The Sean would be Sean Jones, who's coming up next on Total Access with Dave Moore. Coach, thank you. That'll do it for us for this Monday night edition. Again, we're back next Monday night at 5 o'clock. My thanks again to Jeff Ryan and Jerry Petuck for helping things out here on the radio show. Again, Bucs and Panthers, Sunday at 1. We'll talk to you then on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to the Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.